Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
There is a language of universal communication that flows across borders, beyond belief systems, and between the species. It is a language without words. It is the wellspring of life itself, and it is a language that could save our planet, if you let it. Guided by the sacred and iconic ultra-rare white lions of Timbavati in the deep heart of southern Africa, Linda Tucker has translated the language of the lions into a series of lion-hearted leadership lessons for humanity. You are invited to join Linda in one united roar for lions and all of nature.
I'm going to go again, just take a moment, because if this is meant to work, it will be a heart-to-heart connection. And, you know, it's been cutting us. So we just need to reestablish that heart connection. If you, all of you, again, drop into your hearts, feel the double heartbeat, feel the heart that connects us. And that protected space between us that cannot be accessed by unsolicited, uninvited, unauthorized parties. We are connecting at the heart level. It's a specific frequency that can only be achieved when you listen to your hearts. It cannot be disrupted. So hold it like that, and we're going to open now with a wonderful opportunity. Two dear friends now who have been to the Leadership Academy, through the Leadership Academy. Both of them are actually lion-hearted leadership practitioners now. Julie is the head of our UK operations, Julie Lyons. And Beth Duncan walked with us through the very first year of the Leadership Academy, 2012, when we launched it, and went through three consecutive years to graduate as our first graduate from the Leadership Academy in 2015, and is now a lion-hearted leadership practitioner who has truly charted her purpose in the most magnificent way. And one of her main contributions to future leadership really is is working with indigenous groups, sometimes on white lion territories, but she's now the right-hand woman to Dr. Apila Colorado, who is one of the long-standing founder presenters at the Leadership Academy. So both of them are here right now with a specialist group, and they're just going to take a little moment to share some of their experiences of the Academy with you before I open up to more general questions from you. They are under strict instruction not to reveal any of the challenges of the Academy and just the good things, but no doubt, you know, these are two horribly honest individuals. So you will extract all sorts of interesting bits and pieces from them. So I'm gonna pass over to them, but I'm gonna chance a little video for a moment. Oh, I know, I can see there's a, just for a moment. Here's Julie and here's Beth.
Hello.
And we're gonna cut them now, the visuals. And yes, back to voices. Here we go. Julie, tell us what your experience of the Leadership Academy was like.
Oh, my goodness, where to start? Hello, everybody. Hope you can hear me loud and clear. And yeah, I mean, where to start, really? For me, when I arrived to be a part of the Academy, I was full of anticipation and excitement and some apprehension as well about what would be happening. But as I look back on it over, you know, sort of the 3 years since I've been through the Academy, I can see now the huge physical, emotional, mental and spiritual shifts that it allowed me to take at that point in my life. And I'd been on my spiritual path for some time, but I'd reached a point where I was very much at a crossroads, and my life's passion has been all about returning to who I am as an animal lover and somebody who's been passionate about wanting to protect and honour animals for who they really are. And so, of course, a big part of the Academy is about interspecies communication, being able to honour and revere nature as it was truly intended. And so that part for me was so powerful and so expansive for me to get that continuing expansion into my understanding, to be each day with the lions and all of nature here, just in itself was truly incredible for me, and literally changed my perspective and strengthened my determination to be able to step more and more into my role. And then the other aspects of the Academy, the laws themselves and all that that's brought to me, I feel like I'm only just beginning. Even it was 3 years ago, and I feel very much like a beginner, because it's an ongoing process of returning to who I really am, my purpose, and continuing to just reveal layers and layers. So, for example, the astrology, which I knew a little of, but I then had a really deep immersion with the wonderful Maurice, was truly mind expanding as well, and I've learnt more and more about that and how that links in with the white lions as well. And the dream work was just absolutely incredible as well. So I could go on, but I will pass over to Beth.
We're going to pass over to Beth in a moment. But again, to contextualize for everyone, the Academy, the year-end Academy, is the central focus of my calendar. It's something, you know, that I've taken sort of decades to conceptualize in the living with the lions, and recognizing that they have, you know, they have 13 intrinsic laws of the ecosystem that are a remembrance of how an ecosystem works. And these laws are actually laws within our system. So they are returning to true nature through the inspiration of the white lions. So the examples that Julie gives of understanding astrology, to contextualize that, that is a deeper understanding of the 12th law of aspiration, you know, which is rediscover the stars. Most of us have forgotten our stellar identity, and the lions will not allow us to forget that connection between our earthly experience and a greater universe. So, you know, that component of the Leadership Academy involves us literally sleeping on the earth under the stars at a sacred site. And that night alone is often identified as the most transformative night of people's lives. Mm. So Julie describes it and how, you know, and how a deepening of one's identity is achieved through that law with an expert in the field, Maurice Fernandez, who is a founding presenter at the Leadership Academy. He's also the president of OPA, which is the professional astrologers association. And then the other example she gave of dreaming, that is an area of particular focus for me, because there's a specific method that I've developed with Dr. Apila Colorado over the decades, actually, which allows one access back into that incredible law of living your dream. You know, it's the ninth law of co-creation. Living your dream, meaning that really what, you know, your vision can be integrated into daily life. And we do experiential training that allows us to integrate a higher vision into everyday life. So, and this is very familiar to Beth, who has, you know, has been back into the Academy 3 years running, and then continued her deep association with the work of the Global White Lion Protection Trust. So here's Beth.
Hello, everybody. I hope you can hear me okay.
Hello. Good.
Hello, Steffi. I see Steffi on there. I actually met Steffi back in 2012 when I first came to the Academy. And so I'm trying to think of what I can add to what Julie said, but my experience was profound. I came in 2012, and I remember sitting in the class the first day, or the module the first day, and we were sitting in a circle, and we went around and introduced ourselves and said why we were there, and I was like a deer in the headlight, and I had no idea why I was there. I was an account manager from Baltimore, and I had been on a spiritual path somewhat, but it was sort of, I was almost living two lives, my spiritual life and then my professional life. And I didn't, I felt the call and I came. And through the different modules and through the different people that I met, it's really put me on a course that now I don't, it's not two separate lives. My spiritual life and my professional life are one and the same, actually, because I realized that there is no separation. I've had through the different modules, the astrology module, and particularly the dream work, that's, I think, what really captivated me, in part because it was through dreams that I was brought to the trust, or to the White Lions. I started dreaming about them before I even knew that they existed. So that was definitely something that was very big pull for me. Also the ancestral work, which initially I resisted. I won't get into all that, but I resisted it quite strongly. And it turns out that it was probably the most transformative part of all of my work right now and all that I'm doing in the world. And part of that is working with the elders, with the indigenous peoples around the world, working in conservation, bringing indigenous science and Western science together to come up with new forms of conservation. It's groundbreaking work, and it's an honor that I'm even part of it. I'm sometimes, I'm just humbled and awestruck by the fact that I'm able to do this work with such amazing people. Also, Julie and I are here right now. We each year we bring a group of people back to the White Lions, in part to raise awareness, and we get the benefit of being able to come with these great groups of people, and that's part of my work as well, part of my life's purpose. And finally, I think the animal communication also was a big transformative piece for me. I didn't know anything about animal communication. I knew that I loved animals. I knew that there was, I loved being in nature, but I didn't understand how I connected or how I was interconnected with nature and with other life on the planet. And that part has also been hugely transformative. So I know you have a while and you probably all have questions, so I don't want to go on much longer, but yeah, it's just been amazing. Yeah.
That was such amazing sharing. And I know both Julie and Beth do have to actually leave shortly to go back to their special group here, but I'm going to hang on to them just a little longer as we go into the questions in case you have specifics for them. What we're saying here, I hope you recognize through these sharings that this leadership training is transformative at the deepest level. This is truly a training that will bring you into alignment with your destiny if you feel that you haven't found that yet. So it doesn't resemble the many other offerings of so-called leadership that you will get. You know, there's a plethora of leadership trainings mushrooming up all around the world. The reason for that clearly is that, you know, humanity is wrestling with the concept of leadership because leadership has failed us in our governments, in our institutions, in every way. We don't have a leadership model any longer. And most of the leadership trainings, what they offer is a kind of continuation of the status quo, of the paradigm that sadly has failed our planet. So what you will find here is a quantum shift. This is leadership that reminds us of our true nature by taking us back to Mother Nature and the laws within the ecosystem that should be informing the human system. It's completely interrelated, and you'll find that you remember these laws rather than discovering them for the first time. It is a remembrance, and as you find a remembrance, it's an integrating of parts of yourself that you were ashamed of possibly, or that you'd left behind, or you were confused about. You become whole. That remembrance is, as opposed to feeling dismembered, you know, or dissociated or disconnected. So what you'd hear from Julie and from Beth is a real sense of integration since the Leadership Academy, and direction and purposefulness. So, you know, before I open up to your questions, anything in specifically that you'd like to ask Beth or Julie? So Margot, who's managing the call, will, I think there's a flagging up in which you can just text in messages, right?
You all should be able to, there's an option to raise your hand. That might be the simplest. And then we can say your name and then you can ask your question. If you can find the option.
Or you can text in.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, Beth. Lovely to hear your voice. That sounds like a question to me. I'm going to keep talking if there aren't specific questions, but I just think it is it's very fortuitous. We specifically, in the rejuggling of this timing, have linked it to Beth and Julie's visit here so that you can get a first-hand account of what it is like to go through the academy. It is a month-long, intensive, higher learning in action curriculum, specifically higher learning in action. So it's not higher learning as in Ivory Tower, Oxbridge, Ivy League type learning. That actually is my background, and I've gone a long way from that, recognizing that the real learning, the real teachings come from the ecosystem and not the stuffy corridors of power or the ivory tower. Those are paradigms and edifices that are out of touch with the true life pulse. And what happens in the academy is that you get back to your life source in the way that an ecosystem works, which is resilient, which is which has, you know, which serves every component. You become comfortable with serving the greater good and recognizing that suddenly you are served by that. So each of these laws actually is a way of reminding yourself that true leadership is service-based leadership, and that way you get served from the, you know, from the ecosystem, from nature, and the force of love that informs nature. So here's a question from Julie Rains. Mm-hmm. How is this Leadership Academy different from the first year that Julie did in 2015? So, good question. The Academy has evolved to some extent, Julie, in the sense that it's become more and more focused and framed by the 13 laws, because it's increasingly clear to me that these laws are the original laws of the ecosystem. They are the same laws that inform our nature, but we've forgotten them. So it's a much more intensive recognition or familiarization, remembrance of these laws, which are truly the key to self-fulfillment, to recognizing your connection with source, your connection with nature, and your connection with your nature. So all of that was apparent in the year that you did the Leadership Academy, but it's much more authoritative and clear that we were totally on the right track then, and that this is a leadership model that is going to birth future leadership. It's interesting that we are on the brink of the Leo Aquarius axis in this is a big discussion, so we won't go into it now, but the times we are in is the brink of the Leo Aquarius axis, and the leadership of the future will be birthed from a consciousness of Leo Aquarius, Aquarius being conscious of communities and group and altruism, sharing, you know, all supporting the greater good, and Leo having the qualities of the lion, which is governance that serves the greater good. So put the two together and we really have a simple schematic of what future leadership looks like. That's not to say that everyone is, you know, is intended to take the role of the lion in the ecosystem. You can lead from any point in the ecosystem. Your totem can be the spotted bush frog, you know. That is as important as the lion, because everything serves the greater good. It's just that the white lion reminds us of service to every single component of the ecosystem, because it is the capstone on the pyramid of life. It is the apex predator who serves the whole of the ecosystem. So that's a rather elaborate response, but bottom line is we are much more committed to the 13 laws in the training because they really work. So now we've got a question from Laura, and that is, Beth was talking about resistances. How can you overcome them? Any advice on that? No, it's a general question, but any advice on that? I'm going to hand over to Beth in a moment, but the simple principle, which is in every single one of the laws, is how you overcome your fear. You know, this training in lion-hearted leadership is about overcoming fear, and you do it through the lion heart. I'm just going to define the lion heart again. You know, various people have tried to define it, but there is no greater definition than that which was enacted by Maria Corsa, who walked through 24 lions one dark night with a baby on her back to prove that she had no doubt that the lions would protect her. So I don't think we need a better example of lion-hearted leadership than that. And she defined what it was, which I have used as my motivation ever since. she said, love and respect for nature enabled her to do that act. So I have defined lion-hearted as that fearlessness that comes from love and respect for nature that enables us to transform our world. So it takes wisdom from the natural world to transform the human world for the better. And you do that through lion-heartedness. That's how you get to that quality of fearlessness you're talking about. How do you overcome your fears? So I'm going to hand over to Beth, because Beth overcame monumental fears in the leadership training and permanently. So here you go.
It's a good question, Laura. Thank you. Like what Linda was saying is about pushing through fears. That was the biggest way that I got through some of the resistance. And I call it my nausea meter. When I feel absolutely like I'm going to throw up, I know it's something that I have to do. And that's how I'm working through my resistance. And it sounds terrible, but it works, I swear. So for example, I didn't mention that when I was working as an account manager, and I quit my job. I had a mortgage payment. I had a lot of responsibilities, and I had to push through a ton of fears and resistance in order to do what I really felt my heart was calling me to do. Even though I couldn't explain why, even though it wasn't logical, it wasn't my brain directing me, and I knew that. And I had a lot of resistance from others outside of out my family, for one, because they didn't understand it. And so just continually pushing through different fears, different levels of fears. And now they see how happy I am. They see how my life, how I'm living my purpose. And they've started to shift as well, because they see the difference in how I'm living my life. So it's been profound.
Well, I'm going to pick up on that and go a little deeper, because the 10th law of lion-hearted leadership is governance. You know, how you manage your resources, you steward your resources, is that particular law. And the thing about the laws is that when they're working, you are aligning heart and head. You're aligning, your mind with the knowing in your heart, and everything flows. Now, amazingly, Beth, in wanting to come to the academy, because it is a considerable investment, had to materialize the resources for the first year. And that is that 10th law of how you steward your resources. But she didn't have any of those resources. And yet, with that alignment, and we call it, of course, alignment, she went into alignment and they manifested. And she did that in year two, and she did that in year three. I mean, that law of governance, which is the one that, that links us to money and how you drive your life from, a financial point of view, is one that is very closely associated with fears of victimization or feeling, that you don't have enough. It's all linked into the consumerist culture that is designed to make you want more. And Beth, I mean, so what was your nausea meter for that? It was pretty high.
It was off the charts.
But I mean, how amazing that you 3 years running manifested the funds you needed to come to the academy without any discount.
Yeah, and I didn't lose my home. I was actually able to keep my home.
And you didn't have to lose your
home. Yes, I didn't have to lose my home. I was able to, I kept my home. I sold it last year, but it was on my terms. And, that I didn't know that that was even possible. If I had gone through my, through my logical brain without the heart-head connection, I would never have taken the leap. So I think that was a perfect way to describe
it. Perfect example.
Yeah.
So now we've got another question for Beth. Beth, why go for 3 years in the academy? Is that more comprehensive?
Originally, as the program was envisioned, it was meant to be a 3-year program. And then, so I was as it evolved, I was there through the evolution of the program. And since then, it's been refined to the point where it can be done in a month.
In one year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was part of the initial launch of the program.
But I would say, you know, that was, you know, that there are people who've done 2 years and others who are committing to a third year because it's such an evolutionary experience. It is not formulaic, so you're not going to be experiencing the same year in second and third year. So, you know, some others have committed to the extent of the 3 year training, and Beth, as you've gathered, is a real pioneer. But you'd commit to, you know, to the 1 year and measure the transformation that's mm-hmm. taken place in your life, and it's not always measurable immediately, but you look back with a kind of before and after barometer and you realize this has been the turning point in your life. So Laura says, I feel very close to your experience. Thank you. And thank you, Linda. Yeah. And Helen has acknowledged the answer to that question. Any more questions, anyone specifically, before we let our lovely damsels go for now, and then you can direct anything to me after that.
Someone's
typing feverishly. So generally how large is the group? It's very select, and we are very discerning about who is appropriate for the training. So, you know, it's not, you're not granted automatic access. There is quite a strenuous admissions and application process. And we do ask for testimonials simply because, you know, a lot gets flushed up and cleared and shed in the process. You are committing to a life-changing experience that will empower you forever, and we're very cautious about, you know, about bringing in any disruptive element into the group. We've had that occasionally. We do know how to deal with it, but we prefer that it's a soft landing for everyone if we can help it. We know how to deal with crisis issues, but we'd rather not have to do that with a group. So the group is normally between 16 and 20. And it's specifically a cross-cultural, cross-age, cross-gender, cross-everything group. So we have people, you know, from 18 to 80, actually. We do have a very intensive youth leadership program during the year. If you're thinking of the academy for your children, for instance, that is a ignition of the lion heart. That's 1 week intensive. You ideally need to be under 35 for that because it's very energetic, very sparky, and it's really introductory, whereas the academy does go very deep and very fulfilling. So yeah, between 16 and 20 is the answer, and there's always an Indigenous component. We do include a number of scholarships, but those are specifically for people from underserved areas who couldn't otherwise get an opportunity like this. So, you know, we've had Bushman scholarships, the First Nations people from the Kalahari. We've had Zulu and Tsonga scholarships. But generally, it does need quite a lot of motivation to be considered for a scholarship. Any more questions? I think we're almost on the clock here, but have we covered the sort of questions that you came into this conversation with? It's a real pity you couldn't see us and you couldn't see the bushveld behind us to contextualize the setting that you'll be in for 1 month's intensive training. we go out pre-dawn to the lions, because lions are nocturnal predators, so they have been governing the ecosystem through the night. And then, you know, they go to sleep at the dawn, and then they wake up at sunset. So essentially, their purpose, you know, they expect to hand over the baton to humanity during the day. We are meant to govern the day. Lions do govern the night. And of course, humanity's largely failed in that governance during the day. But here, that's what happens. So we go out at the time when the lions are going to sleep. We get to see them. If we go too late, they are asleep under a, you know, acacia tree, and you won't see them. Maybe a furry paw in the air, but that's about it. And then at sunset, we would go out tracking them again. They are truly solar animals and stellar animals. They are luminous. You know, they are haloed at the last light, and illuminated at the first light. Mm-hmm. It is a constant inspiration. But the key is to understand these 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership are an understanding of how the lions, you know, prompt our service-based leadership within, you know, within our everyday context. And then there's, you know, there's a lot of lively cultural activity with our local communities. There's a lot of tracking on foot, energetic tracking, and experiential training that brings these laws into alignment, so that they're not theoretical by any means. They are alive within you. So the animal communication that we talk about is a way of truly understanding the third law of lion-hearted leadership, which is heart-to-heart communication. How often do we truly use that in our human relationships? It's normally, you know, talking at, talking to, talking over people. And how often are we truly listening to what they have to say? We know we have all sorts of trainings, like the Imago technique for couples therapy, to hear each other, because people are just not listening to each other, let alone listening from a heart-to-heart level. And so the animal communication, when you can hear animals, when you can cross the species barrier, then you can truly start to hear humans again as well. So all of this is a gift from the ecosystem that you can take home to understand how to deal with human systems again, and how to heal them, how to heal your own bodily system when you work with these 13 laws of lion-hearted leadership. And we have a message from Julie to say that it's really about next year's academy, and that a grandchild, it will absolutely be running in 2019. So your grandchild could definitely apply. Julie, that's an answer. I'm going to chant something, and it might be that it cuts the link, unfortunately, because it seemed that the visuals were a problem, but we're going to put it on for a moment so you can see what the 13 laws looks like as a schematic, and just imprint that imprint that in your psyche. They are not laws that are sequential in the way that the human legal system would try and draft 1 to 13. This is a process in the way that nature does it, where all these laws are equally important to every other. They're linked in the center by the central law that supports them all, the 13th law, which is elimination to illumination. And that informs every one of the other laws. So when you're operating, it's the laws operating simultaneously. So I'm pleased this is still allowing us to see you. So we're going to say goodbye. Julie and Beth need to head off. So now, just that we have the visuals, there's Julie.
see you. It's been lovely to connect, and I hope that you'll be joining the Academy, and that this has helped you to sort of understand more and to feel into what it's about and how it can help you. So thank you.
Yes. And there's Beth. Thank you. It was great chatting with you. Yeah, and I hope this was helpful, and I'm happy to make myself available if people have questions afterwards.
Mm, that's so wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. And here am I. So, lovely messages from everyone. Thank you. Lots of love to you. And if that's it with the questions, I think there might be one more question. Laura's actually joined Winter's Academy, and so that way, with the path showed to you by the lions, you can really let's see that message, Laura, that you're looking to come back to White Lion Territories. Your time in January with Sophia, Winter, and me was really memorable. And yes, so Winter has an online academy that takes you into deeper animal communication training. I'm just saying goodbye to the ladies who are heading off now. But and I think some of you have signed up for that. That will, of course, deepen your communication and your communion with life. And when you truly align with that third law of lion-hearted leadership, you are able to communicate that way to your loved ones. You know, animals teach you then to understand how we should be communicating with our loved ones.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, all of you. We're going to be signing off, and we will set up another call that will allow further questions. I know some of you have actually signed up for the Academy. So if you need more specific details, you can indicate to Pilati, who is working with admissions right now.
Okay. Thank you, Linda, for taking the time.
My pleasure. Lots of love to everyone.
Peace. Blessings.
And to you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to One United Roar for Lions and all of nature, and this could well have been the most important listening hour of your life. We hope you've been informed, inspired, and ignited with the wonder and the oneness of all of life. You're now invited to join hearts and voices with the lions and all that they stand for, to roar your truth, to be a voice and a force for nature in the choices that you make every day and the way in which you live, think, and speak. Lionhearted Leadership and Dream Vision 7 Radio unite with you in one united roar. Join us again next week for another heart-opening experience.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.